We have a special offer for first-time donors to Issues Etc. For any size gift during the months of January and February, we'll send you an autographed copy of Pastor Will Wheaton's new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Make your first-time contribution online at issuesetc.org or send your check to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you an autographed copy of Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
If you are reading quickly through the book of Acts, you might get the impression that here's Saul on the way to persecute Christians in Damascus. Then Christ meets him there on the road to Damascus. And before you know it, he is on his missionary journeys. But in fact, it took a long time before he left on his first missionary journey. Why is that? Well, in some ways, Paul was waiting. Christ had certainly told him that he would be an apostle to the Gentiles, but something needed to happen first, and that is, well, he needed to be commanded by God. He needed to be called by God to go. Why is that so important? Why didn't Paul just pick up and go? Why didn't he just kind of send himself? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Paul's first missionary journey in Acts 13 and 14, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio program called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why is it important to note that Paul didn't commission himself or send himself on this missionary journey? He actually waited a long, long time before the Holy Spirit called him to do it.
It's that last point that you made that is very important, until the Holy Spirit called him. If you would listen to a lot of other radio stations, you will hear pastors who have not been called by the Holy Spirit or in the process by which the Holy Spirit calls through a congregation, but have decided to, well, I'm going to be a pastor. For example, Joel Osteen actually brags about the fact that he's never been to a seminary. And then every time he begins speaking, he proves it. And that is because he's not trained in proper Christian theology and has a psychology rather than a theology to proclaim. It is very important that a proper call be given to an individual to become a pastor. Now, Paul received it immediately from the Lord, but others receive it immediately through the congregations. And so when the church makes a call to someone, that is the way that the Holy Spirit desires it to take place.
Even for the apostle.
Even for the apostles. In fact, all the apostles were called by the Holy Spirit through the words of Jesus. I remember there were a couple who wanted to begin following Jesus, and he told them, no, go home, bury your father, or whatever else, because the call has to come from God, and if there is not that call under the proper circumstances, then that's not really a valid ministry.
So they set off from Antioch, where through a prophet, the Holy Spirit calls Paul and Barnabas, I believe, to go and do this work. And they start off to their various places. But I notice that even though Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles, his first stop, wherever he goes, is always the Jewish synagogue. What's going on there?
Well, there are two things. The Jewish synagogues obviously had Jews there. And they were reading the Old Testament passages, but there were also a number of Gentiles. In fact, we even notice that when Peter is on a roof and he sees this tremendous image of unclean meat that is now declared to be clean, and that is to prepare Peter for meeting the centurion who God had brought into the family of faith, and he was a Gentile because only Romans could be centurions. So there were those, some of them kind of interested in what the Jews were saying. Others had become what we call proselytes, and that they were even permitted to join in the various celebrations of the Jewish year. So Paul did have a real opening at a synagogue to have people listen who were both Jews and Gentiles.
one of the first things we hear about as they are on their first missionary journey was Paul is called before a proconsul, it says there in verse 7. Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence who summoned Barnabas and Saul to hear the word of God. This is a fulfillment of what Christ himself had promised his apostles, that they would make testimony before kings and princes.
It's quite interesting. Luke, in both his gospel and in Acts, which he also wrote, does have a tendency to show that important people come to faith and that they are part of the structure of the Holy Christian Church. Even when an individual called Elymas, the magician, who is actually a proconsul, or he seeks to control the proconsul from the faith, he is referred to as Paul as son of the devil, enemy of all righteousness, full of deceit. And in order to make it clear to the proconsul that this so-called magician is really darkened in his knowledge of the true God, he becomes blind and is unable to see even the sun for a time. And the proconsul, when he saw that, when he saw what had occurred, he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. And of course, that really brought him also to faith.
They go to another place. In this case, they go to from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia. And I noticed they go back into the synagogues, and we get an actual sermon that Paul preached. How does it go?
This sermon is really a great sermon. And in fact, the Growing in Christ series makes a point and then proves it, that the sermon is really on the basis of what we refer to as the Apostles' Creed. Paul talks about God the Father as the God of Israel in the Old Testament, leads then to God Jesus Christ as the one who died on the cross for our sins, raised from the dead for our justification, and then ends with the Holy Spirit. So this is kind of a good example of what a proper sermon should be, talking about the Holy Trinity and the work that was done by the Holy Trinity in saving us from even before the time of Jesus arrived on earth in an incarnate state.
Can you explain a little detail here in the middle of this chapter, chapter 13, where Luke goes from referring to Saul as Saul to all of a sudden, without any explanation, Paul there in verse 13?
Yes, this is almost 10 years after Saul had been converted, and they're still referring to him as Saul. Part of the thing here might be that Saul would be the name you would want to use if you're talking to Jewish people. Paul would be the name you would want to use if you're talking to Gentiles. And as his missionary work becomes more focused on Gentiles, you'll see during the rest of the book of Acts that he is referred to as Paul rather than just as Saul. But in that chapter 13, I think, is the essence of the message that converted many of the Gentiles. It's found in verse 39 of chapter 13. And he's talking about Jesus, that by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. And what is that freedom? Well, it's freedom from the curse of the law, that the day that you sin, you shall die. How are we freed from the bondage of the law? We are freed by that, by the death of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are freed from this terrible curse in a way that we could not free ourselves by following the law of Moses. And that, of course, is the main distinction between all of these Gentile religions and some of the Jews and Christianity, and that is nobody is saved by the works of the law. And that was what caused great anger among some Gentiles and some Jews who at one point even stoned Paul during this missionary journey.
There is a reaction against them from the Jews there, and it says down there in verse 51, they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went on to Iconium. They're doing what Jesus said they would do, aren't they?
Exactly, and that's on the basis of verse 45. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. But here we see, I think, one of the reasons why God chose Saul, who became Paul, to be the apostle to the Gentiles. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. If there was anybody who knew Old Testament law, Old Testament books, and also the new understanding of Judaism, it was this Saul and Paul. And so he was just wonderful at being able to argue against these corrupt teachings. And that's really what this lesson is about, so that we too in our day will call pastors who are trained to help the laity understand the false teaching that they're hearing all the time in this world, so that they will stay convicted and trustworthy in the words of Jesus Christ.
It also highlights through the verses of chapter 14 that there's pretty much constant persecution and opposition to Paul and Barnabas's preaching of the gospel. Talk about that.
Yes, if there's one thing you'd want to get across in this study with the Sunday school children, there are two things that are really necessary in the Christian church. The first is the continuation in the faith, and that occurs by the calling of pastors who use the word of God and administer the sacraments rightly. But the other thing, and we should just expect it as another component of the Christian life, is the experience of tribulations, namely by those who do not like us. In your previous program, you were talking about a pro-life woman who actually almost was attacked at a rally because of her pro-life position. This is something we Christians should be expecting, because the devil hates the church.
A couple final questions. I noticed that when they turn around, start going back to Antioch, they appoint elders, that is pastors, in each of the places they have visited. That's, again, about the importance of God calling these men to continue in the word, isn't it?
Yes, and just as with Paul, the reason it took a while for him to get going, he had to be trained. He had to listen to what was said about Jesus. He had to learn theology, which are just two Greek words talking about the words of God, so that he could share them with others who then will be comforted because they are freed from the curse of the law.
So how would you describe the law and the gospel in this lesson, these two chapters of Acts, for the Sunday school children this week, Tom?
Yes, I would say that the law accuses each of us of saying, we're not Paul. How can we convert someone? We need to realize the gospel teaches we don't do any conversion. The Holy Spirit does. So even a child, especially if they've gone through youth confirmation, have plenty of material to share with others that the Holy Spirit can use to bring them to faith. And that's the wonderful good news of the gospel.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
And thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Pastor Jonathan Fisk about prudence in teaching finances to our children. We'll continue our series on progressive versus classical Lutheran education, discussing socialization with Dr. Thomas Korchak, and we'll get an introduction to the book of Leviticus with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, continuing our series on introducing the books of the Bible. It says here near the end of that journey that they were strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. You know, God has called a man to serve you in that capacity, your pastor, and He is offering you that encouragement of God's word that first shows you to be the sinner that you are and then answers the accusations of the law with the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ. It's not a life without tribulation entering the kingdom of God, but it is a life with the crucified and risen Christ. I'm Todd Wilken. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Listening to God's Word, daily prayers, frequent and faithful reception of the Eucharist, confession of sins and absolution, good works. Learn more about the life of Lutheran piety in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. It's written by regular guest Pastor Will Whedon. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. Thank, praise, serve, and obey.